Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. And I said, we strong, man.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are Atlanta's number one sports talk show. We thank you for listening to 92.9 The Game. I got to tell you, man, one of my favorite treats is this Billionaire's Bacon here. Oh. Have you guys had this Billionaire's Bacon?
I had a cheeseburger with the Billionaire Bacon on it earlier today. It is money, man.
Fantastic. It is. It's absolutely delicious. Now, are you going to tweet that picture out as we are live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, guys?
Yes.
We're going to get to the top three at 6. We'll fill you in on what's going on with the Falcons today if you're just tuning in.
I'm going to tweet this picture right now.
Did you see this guy? Did this guy just walked up and he looks just like Bo Morgan?
Dude, it's like Squidbilly's older brother or younger brother. It's bizarro, man. Are you from Kennesaw? Are you from Kennesaw, sir? From this area? Okay. Squid, where was your dad? Is your dad, was he a traveling man? I'm just saying, man. I mean, holy cow.
Yeah, he does look just like you, no doubt.
I don't think he's very happy about it. He didn't seem very happy about looking like
Squid me. Has found his long-lost brother.
So happy right now. All right, guys, we are out here. And again, thanks to everybody that came out. Is enjoying a Hey Man Ale. Are you guys enjoying a Hey Man Ale, by the way? Thank you, guys. Yes, lift your beer up if you're having a Hey Man.
Hey.
Say Hey Man. Thank you, guys.
That's what I like to hear.
All right, so we're out here enjoying ourselves. We'll be out here till 7. So if you're on the road or you're heading to the house and maybe you had a hard day, come enjoy a beer.
And if you got time, I mean, you got to get moving, obviously, with the traffic. But if you're on your way to see the Braves in action, you can always stop by and have a cold one.
Absolutely. All right, with that said, and a reminder, guys, Falcon fans, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before the game. Bud Light countdown to kickoff. It's Mike Conte. It's Hugh Douglas. They'll have you ready for the game. It's Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. That's going to happen on Sunday as we'll have the game for you. And Mike and I, we've been talking a lot today about this matchup. This is a big game. I mean, it's always big when we play the Saints. But for the Saints, Mike, everybody's wondering what they are. We feel like we got it figured out last week in the red zone. We would go 4 for 4, and everybody goes, all right, well, we're going to score some points.
Right.
But you got to do it again this week. You got to be consistent.
Yeah, and I mean, talking to Archer, I think we get a little bit of trepidation as Falcon fans because we're like, he always busts my chops. I'm always nervous about this or that. But this is one you just hate to lose because, A, it's a division game. There's a lot of heat on it. And unfortunately, and we haven't even talked about this today, Carl, there's going to be a lot of Saints fans in the building.
You're right.
Because of the PSL situation with Mercedes-Benz and the availability of tickets, people in the secondary market. I mean, Carolina, they were there. They weren't that vocal. But the Saints fans bring the heat. So, I mean, I'm not saying you should cause a ruckus, but make some noise, guys, when you're there, because this is, unfortunately, the new reality. The Cowboys go through it all the time, too. There's always thousands of other teams' fans there at Jerry World.
I think that we've got to be loud. We've got to be involved in this game.
Right.
We've got to be the difference.
Hold on real quick. Speaking of loud, you guys got a craps game going on over here? What the hell is going on over here?
What's happening?
He's doing diagrams. What is it? I got to see this. I gotta see this. He's diagramming the tailgate like the Kennedy assassination. I mean, look at this.
Is this for Sunday?
He'll go left on Sunday? North side, a left on North side, then off MLK, and then back into the right. Back into the right. Okay, there you go. Back at it there, Garrison. Anyway, I'm sorry, I got distracted by this ruckus. Can you describe the ruckus?
Well, no, I just saw a bunch of guys go, no, no, no. I didn't know what was going on behind you.
They mapped out the tailgate so these guys can all connect. He's got topographical. He's using sugar cubes to make little hills.
You use what you got. But we've got to be the difference. I mean, and I say us as in Falcon fans that are going to this game. And, Mike, we have the ability to do that. We've talked about it. We need to create that home field advantage. And
right.
Certainly we didn't feel like that the entire time last year at Mercedes-Benz, but we're coming into that. I know it's all the bells and whistles. Everybody wants to go see what's going on. But let's be involved with the game. Now, before we get to our top three at 6, a couple of things, guys. First of all, Falcon injuries. We now know Tack McKinley is not going to play. We were wondering about it all week.
Right.
He's not going to be available. No Freeman. I don't know if you feel a little anxious about that or not after last week seeing Coleman. I don't. I feel really good about what we saw last week.
I mean, we talked earlier with Tutan Reyes, a former offensive lineman in the NFL for 10 years and does great work with Kennesaw State. He played for the Saints, played for Carolina. He was talking about, you know, the zone blocking scheme and how he's not worried about Schweitzer because Schweitzer had the experience last year. And maybe it's just schematically it's a better fit with him next to Jake Matthews. Physiologically, it's a better fit. We're going to find out. He's the only guy to do the job other than Garland now. So I'm excited about running the football. I'm just – the one thing which is making me nervous is You can't. I'll say it for the fifth time today. You cannot let Drew Brees sit back in that pocket.
You can't.
Can't do it.
No. And so with the injuries, guys, it means adjusting a little bit to what Dan Quinn and Marquand Manuel are going to do, our defensive coordinator, on Sunday. Hey, with that, Craig back at the studio. He's producing the show. Our engineer on-site, Eric. Bo Morgan producing the show, should I say, and Craig back in the studio, our engineer. Let's get to the top three at six.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
All right, guys, let's start first with a big matchup tonight. Braves at SunTrust, Mike. They handled business last night. The magic number, four. It is four.
Yeah, man, great job by Gosman last night. Great job by, was it Duda? Duda Day. Duda with some clutch hitting. Remember, we picked him up. We're like, oh, what's this guy about? But I thought great to see, you know, the core of the lineup. Even though Acuna didn't have a hit, he did have an RBI, knocked into a sac fly. But the pitching came together. Biddle actually got the win. So we're hoping now just keep on trucking. And the good news, Carl, the sooner you lock this up, the more rest you can give your starters and that bullpen.
With the magic number being four, this thing could be wrapped up before the weekend's up. All the pressure is on the Phillies now to get it done. You know, that three games in Philadelphia, it's four here, which started last night, and then they play three there. Everybody said, oh, the division may come down to those three games. Well, it may be over by then. So they actually have to win two of the next three to even have a shot.
Again, Inciarte is going to bat second. They're going to drop Albies down to the seventh spot tonight, according to Dave O'Brien from The Athletic. Also, it's Julio Teheran versus Nick Pivetta. What are we going to get, good Julio or bad Julio?
Boy, I'm hoping good Julio. I'm crossing my fingers. You guys know how we do this. We're crossing our fingers.
Yes.
Good Julio gives us six positive innings. He doesn't put a lot of guys on base. He doesn't walk a whole lot of guys.
Right.
And he doesn't give up a lot of dingers.
Bad Julio gives up a home run that doesn't land.
That's correct.
It might hit the roof of the Omni. But anyway, let's hope that he's dialed in because for whatever reason, up until this homestand, the Braves are barely above 500 at SunTrust.
No doubt about it. Braves and Phillies tonight continuing that series. We're keeping an eye out over the weekend. We'll be talking about it on Monday, guys, if this thing gets wrapped up, obviously. Hey, story number two has to do with the Georgia Bulldogs. Big game this weekend against Mizzou, SEC East. I know a lot of dog fans. Mike, everyone I've talked to, at least this week, not worried. Like, feeling really confident.
Well, we talked all week, and we've talked about it earlier with Archer about, you know, Drew Lock. Drew Lock scored and threw, I should say, four touchdowns. One, as the game was out of hand, but there were two before halftime where he really went vertical. How much of Georgia's, and we just talked about the Falcons, Georgia's pass rush is going to be asked to come up and make some plays here because, you know, Kirby wasn't happy about the pass rush after the South Carolina game. We've debated a lot about how you're supposed to do it against the, you know, the Cupcakes. You know, you're going to be vanilla on defense, but it's going to have to be cranked up against Drew Lock. Can't let him sit back there.
No, you can't. He can deliver the ball. He's got all the throws. He's big. He's strong. Listen to me. He's big. He's strong. 6'4", 225. I mean, he's got all the tools, guys. I want you to hear Kirby Smart talking about the Mizzou running game because here's the thing. I think the Dogs are going to make them one-dimensional. I don't think Mizzou is going to be able to run against them. They're going to force Drew Lock to probably throw the ball 45, 50 times. That, to me, plays into the favor of the Dogs because now you can do some things blitzing and also jumping some routes against him. Here's Kirby Smart.
They've made a commitment to the run game this year with the hiring of Derek Dooley. They're trying to run the ball and be more physical, and they've done that in their first games. They got good backs.
Now, Derek Dooley, obviously Coach Vince Dooley's son. We had the legendary Vince Dooley on the show the other day, Mike, and he was talking about Derek and this relationship with Drew Lock, but you know, it didn't work out at Tennessee, right? It doesn't mean Derek Dooley's not going to be a successful OC or ultimately a head coach somewhere else in college, but he's got this offense working. The problem is I don't think Mizzou can stop anybody. That's going to be the biggest
issue. Yeah, their defense is suspect, and all week we've been having fun saying the name Dave Blah, the quarterback for Purdue, who threw for 500 and change against them. And certainly, you know, you don't really think of Mizzou as a tough place to play. I know it was kind of funny. Chip Towers wrote that blog at Dog Nation. He was getting heat from Missouri fans. He said it's a crappy trip to a crappy stadium because it is either flying to St. Louis or Kansas City. You got a couple hours on the interstate, and it's a stadium, which is kind of Mickey Mouse. That's why they're putting the money into it. There'll be a chunk of the student section behind the Georgia bench. Not that that matters. But the only thing that would derail the Dogs, same thing would derail anybody, Carl, the turnovers. You know, somebody, and so far they've been really good with the possession, and Kirby really had nothing to complain about with turnovers. other than DeAndre Baker dropping the ball on the goal line.
That's true, before he got in. It is Dukes and Bell. It's our top three at six, brought to you by Dixie Vodka, guys, as we talk about what's going on in and around the world of sports. Hey, story number three, we've been watching it here all day, and guys are enamored with what's going on. Now, I've not had a chance to see hole for hole, but Bo Morgan, I want to bring you into the program because you've been watching a little bit more of this as Tiger has been making his way through Eastlake. He started the day, guys, 5-under. What's it look like?
Well, he finished at 7-under,
ooh,
and he's the leader. He's tied with Justin Rose. Look, he had it all the way to 8-under, and then he double bogeyed, I believe it was 15 or 16, went backwards. He played with Ricky Fowler. Now Fowler fell off. He finished 2-over for the day. So very productive day for Tiger. Tiger looks good. His putting was phenomenal today.
Really was. Tiger and everybody else have been talking about how great the greens are at Eastlake. It's just been amazing. It looks like a video game. How beautiful things have been. The weather's hanging on. Going to be out there tomorrow, man. Can't wait to see it. And wouldn't that be something? Because all these writers, all these snarky golf guys, they don't like Tiger for whatever, you know, thing he said or did or didn't shake their hand or whatever, kiss the baby. The dude is on fire. And if you win this and win $10 million, how do you not say Tiger's back?
You know, he's
back. He's a competitive. He's in the mix. And then certainly when you fast forward to next year and we go to Augusta, you know, and he's got his back right. And again, another year of treatment. And I was really worried, Carl, when he had those back breakdowns. You think, well, this is never going to get better. Because usually when the back starts going, that's your career.
It's true.
And I don't know, because some people still have their mean on for Tiger. You and I both read the Tiger book. And yeah, he was doing some stuff back in the day that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But this, it would be one of the great comebacks. It's not like Ben Hogan. He nearly died in a car accident. But it's a pretty amazing story for this generation.
Go ahead, Bo.
I think the Tiger being back thing, though, he's never going to be what he was before.
No, he's not going to ever be that dominant.
But because of what he's going through, he's now a competitive guy. He's just not the guy. He's
right.
Just one of the guys.
But he's still mentally tougher than this generation of golfers. That's the one thing I give him credit for. A lot of these guys will melt in the big moment. You know? I mean, we've seen.
Yeah,
we've got a bunch of guys that are solid. Like, look, Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler's got a breakthrough and win a major.
Well, and who knows what his. And he was all over the place. He couldn't hit it off the tee today. The thing is, I think we watched him play when he was the man. He's just not head and shoulders above everybody like he used to.
He's not going to intimidate a guy like Koepka or Dustin Johnson or that kind of stuff. But look, you've even seen Spieth. Spieth had some trouble with the putter this year, Carl. None of these guys are bulletproof right now to like the way Tiger was in his heyday.
Right.
But to Squidbillie's point, he's right. Tiger's not the big bad boogeyman. You'd come out and just dominate and no one would catch him.
But he's back in the fact that he can show up and absolutely be in the running and possibly win a tournament, and you can't overlook him. And you know what? There is a mental edge that he has over people because some people, the new kids, they look up to him.
Yep.
Right. So that's an edge he has.
Hey, by the way, I just tweeted the picture of Squidbillie and his older brother.
His twin?
Beardbillie.
His twin. What's his name?
What do you want to call this guy?
I have no idea.
Yeah, he's Beardbillie. I go beer or Beardbillie. Or
Beardbillie.
Beardbillie. Yes,
all right.
There you go.
Hey, let's hear from Tiger today, by the way, talking to the media afterwards.
Well, we have a long way to go. There was still 54 more holes to play, and this is not an easy golf course. This is a grinder's golf course. Got to keep hanging in there and keep making a lot of pars. And, you know, I did that today. I didn't quite hit it as sharp as I did yesterday, but I ground out around and shot something, you know, under par.
Yeah, we'll see how this plays out over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And then who ultimately wins the $10 million. Hey, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Atlanta United, Mike, because they have a big match tomorrow down at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, man, what an amazing week it's been. Three matches in 7 days. They go out, they get the win in Colorado in really steamy conditions. They come back, just improbable comeback. 3-1, they're down. Get some help from the VAR was the right call. And now, after playing two bad teams, Carl, here's a team that's in the playoffs in the West in Real Salt Lake. The roof's going to be open, by the way, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. So I know a lot of United fans. We were just talking to a couple of soccer fans earlier. Going to be an electric vibe. And it is the capacity crowd. It's easier for them to turn it around for the Saints game on Sunday if we have the full Megillah. So it should be a great vibe on Saturday night. You'll hear it right here on the game.
Should be good. Hey, coming up, we had a chance to visit with T-Bob Hebert, guys. He does radio down in New Orleans. Obviously, you're familiar with his father. And Bobby Hebert, longtime quarterback. But T-Bob talking to us about the Saints, where they're at, and what we can expect on Sunday. You'll hear that interview coming up. Coming up, we will give you our picks to NFL, to college. Mike already won with the Browns. He's got one more NFL pick coming up this weekend. But first, let's hear from T-Bob Hebert down there in New Orleans, guys. And we had a chance to visit with him a little bit earlier in the show. First thing we asked him was, what is going on with the Saints?
I mean, that's the question, right? It's kind of crazy that here we are 2 weeks in, and in the New Orleans Saints, like, you had a team that you didn't think you had a ton of question marks about. You were supposed to be complete top to bottom in every position, and now after 2 weeks, like, who knows what to think about this team? And then it gets even more confusing when you add in the law of transitive sports properties, right? Because, like, the Bucs loss at first looks inexcusable, and it still kind of is when you look at those defensive stats. But, like, it looks inexcusable, but then they go beat the Eagles, you know, the Super Bowl champs. And you're like, okay, well, maybe the Bucs are a little more legit. And then the Browns win is so close, that looks terrible. But now you're like, okay, maybe the Browns aren't the worst team at Baker. Mayfield's good, but, you know, granted, Tyrod is playing. Either way, this is the same team that right now, I think Saints fans are very happy that they have managed to go 1-1, but I think there is, like, some concern and panic right now in the Who Dat Nation that a lot of people are kind of feeling like this may be 2014 all over again, where you got duped, you thought you had a Super Bowl contender, and then they just didn't show up. I mean, I don't know about y'all. Y'all aren't, obviously, but from my perspective, I am terrified of the Saints' defensive backs right now, Moore and Crawley, having to go up against that Atlanta Falcon receiving core.
Now, we talked about it, T-Bob, this week. Last time we played here in Atlanta, and remember, we finished the season with those two close games right nearly back-to-back. Marshawn Lattimore really did a nice job. Now, they helped to bracket on Julio, but we've always thought he's kind of like the best guy on that defense.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of Saints fans did as well. And that's maybe where the week one performance, week two was good for Lattimore for sure, but the week one performance becomes a bit alarming is that Marshawn Lattimore shut down Mike Evans last year. And, you know, they may be a product of just having more game film on him. Mike Evans may be taking him more seriously. But Mike Evans ate Lattimore's lunch in that first game. I mean, there's a crazy stat where every single time DeSean Jackson or Mike Evans was targeted, the pass was completed. So, like, it wasn't even close. That was the craziest part about it, is that the windows that Fitzpatrick were throwing into were really bad, not even on the busted coverages, just, like, guys getting beat. And so I am very intrigued to see how Lattimore handles this test against Julio Jones, who, I mean, I don't think I'm alone in this. I think Julio Jones is the best receiver and, like, the hardest receiver to shut down in the entire NFL. So can Lattimore carry over some of that rookie? And that's where it becomes even more concerning, is that Jones is the one who had the most success against him during his Rookie of the Year campaign. It's just that he didn't get in the end zone. So can you kind of mitigate the damage that Julio Jones will do to you? That's an area of focus. But then, like I said, I think King Crawley versus Sanu or King Crawley versus Ridley kind of has me very concerned right now.
It's T-Bob Abia joining us on the WaitForward.com hotline as we broadcast live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, inviting you to come out. We're talking Falcons, Saints. The Saints basically give up their draft to go draft Marcus Davenport. What's the word on him? Because I've not been impressed. I've not seen enough of
not
Marcus.
Not impressed? You've been dogging him since it happened.
Well, it's just what it is. But I want to hear from T-Bob. Tell me that this guy is going to be the next big deal, please, because I've not seen anything.
He might be, you know, okay, so when he finally got going in the preseason, he dealt with some injury problems in the offseason, which, you know, when you have that investment, that's always concerning. But he did start getting productive at the end of the preseason, and thus far, while he's still not your every down guy, he's still, like, he's a spot player right now.
Whoa, he's not an every down guy. You gave up half your draft for him.
Eventually, but you got to remember, if you would judge Cam Jordan by that metric, you would have thought Cam Jordan was bad. Go look at Cam Jordan year one. Cam Jordan year one's not good. Cam Jordan year two isn't great. Like, it took Cam Jordan a few years, and now you can make the argument that these last couple of years, he's been the best edge defender in the NFL. So I'm almost as surprised as you are. People are actually, at least the Who Dat Nation, it sounds like, is willing to be pretty patient with Marcus Davenport. But, I mean, I don't know. You know how you can get, like, into those advanced analytics, and I saw a PFF article the other day about how Marcus Davenport was actually very productive in his first couple of NFL games. So it's definitely a wait-and-see approach right now. You're not getting the instant impact that you would have hoped for. But that was always kind of a risky potential pick to begin with. I mean, coming out of UTSA, I don't know if they ever expected him, and maybe in their, like, secretly hopes they did, but as far as what they said publicly, it sounded like they always knew this was going to be a little bit of a project. They just believed that eventually he has the ability to be like one of those defensive ends that you do draft and commit all those resources to.
It is T-Bob Hebert, Bobby Hebert, a good friend of the show, and you've heard Bobby on the station. We get T-Bob on every time we lock horns. We'll be talking to T-Bob later this fall when LSU hosts the Georgia Bulldogs. But here's the thing. I'll give you some intel from the ATL, T-Bob. You just talked about Davenport. We're curious if Tack McKinley, our first-round pick from a year back, can go. Because if he can't go, Vic Beasley has kind of been, and now it's official, Tack is out, just as I mentioned it. Tack McKinley is a scratch, Bob. So that really creates a question mark. Vic Beasley has been tremendously inconsistent for the Falcons since he had that big double-digit sack year. So now if we can't get Drew Brees on the ground, he'll pick us apart.
Well, and so that's where I feel for y'all, because you never want – like, I just don't like when games are decided this way or teams are overly impacted by it, but the injury bug's just killing y'all right now. I mean, for Tack McKinley to be out and then to lose two Pro Bowlers, like almost all pro – were Keanu Neal, Deion Jones all pro? It doesn't matter. Two of the best at their position in the NFL to lose those guys. I mean, Deion Jones alone, obviously a lot of LSU fans love him. He has three picks against Brees and four claims, including an incredible game winner from last year. So, like, that's terrible. That's where I do like this game for the Saints. I think the Falcons will stop to struggle Brees, who is – or will struggle to stop Brees, who is, like, in the zone right now. He's completing 81% of his passes. And you may see NFL history. If he hits 14 on Sunday, he will break Brett Favre's all-time completion record, and he'll do it in 700 less attempts and 50 games less in 2 years less.
He's special. There's no doubt.
And he always sets records against us. Remember the 2011 season where you guys piled it on us? We'll never forget that one.
He is, he's something else. Of course, he's talking about Drew Brees. If you're just joining us, guys, Mike mentioned it. The official report is out. Who's out Sunday? Freeman. Devontae out. We've known that.
Damn.
We kind of figured
that.
Corey Nelson, our linebacker, Derek Shelby, and also Tack McKinley. Now, the Tack McKinley thing is big, Mike, because he's gotten a couple of sacks here in these first couple of games. It seems like he's been one of the only guys to be able to get the quarterback down. Now, we've gotten some pressures, but I'm talking about sacks.
But that's the thing, T-Bob, because we have to dial up blitzes. Brian Poole has been our second. He's tied with Tack for two sacks. But if we're going to blitz out of a corner – in a nickel package, and Drew Brees has time, then we're dead
beat.
That's the concern. Also, seems like it's going to be high-scoring. You're telling us.
I was talking to my old man about this the other day, and because we were talking about quarterback play, Joe Burrow's like the hot discussion, is Joe Burrow good or not? And we got to talking about blitzing and how you deal with it, and he was saying guys like Brees, guys like Matt Ryan, they invite that. Like, yes, like, please – commit more numbers to getting to them before they can get rid of the ball and beat you with the correct decision. So, yeah, that's obviously not ideal. I mean, look, when you look at it, like, it kind of seems like this is all leading up to being a very offensive game, maybe like a who has the ball last type of game. The only thing that maybe gives me pause is it seems like every time I go ahead and say that, like, oh, it's definitely looking like this, then you get one of those weird anomalies where you get one of those Saints-Falcons game where it's like, 16-10 or like 13-10.
We always know it's tough to play you guys. Hey, real quick, we talked about this a little bit. I don't think it plays in this game. If it was going to play at any point, it may have played last year when we went there at the end of the season. But the Sean Payton choke thing. Anybody talk about that? Has anybody said anything about that down there?
No, actually they have not. Now, help me out. So I actually thought that was like a play signal or something on the side. He actually did that to Devontae Freeman, right?
Yes, he did. All
and
the
then,
side.
Okay, so you look, last year, I don't know what was going on, but Sean was feeling himself. Maybe he was having two rookies of the year, but he did that. And then you want to talk about instant karma? He was doing the skull chant at the Vikings fan right before the Marcus Williams Minnesota Miracle happened.
Ooh, payback is a blank. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? I thought it was interesting. Mike and I talked about it. It just adds more fuel to this rivalry for us.
Well, the last 2 years that Sean Payton is your coach before he takes the Cowboys job, T-Bob.
I mean, look, yeah. Well, hey, you know, I'll enjoy the ride as long. Look, I think Saints.
Time for Dukes of Bell to make you some money. Clearly for recreational purposes. Call 929-999-9999. Call Uncle Mike and Carl for their stone cold locks of the week.
We got him.
Makes me laugh every time. Hey, game winner, by the way, coming up in just minutes here. 404-741-0929. Give us your stone cold lock of the week.
Yeah, what is the one? You only get one. Don't give us three. Give me the one game that you go, that's a winner.
It could be. I think Georgia Tech is going to make an amazing upset win over Clemson. Or maybe it's going to be the Braves will give issue 17 walks this weekend. Make your stone cold lock. 404-741-0929. All right, let's get to our picks, brother. You are 3-5. I am 4-5 by virtue of the win last night as the Cleveland Browns snapped a year and a half losing streak and covered the three. So I am one game in the good right now.
Yeah, I had a partner of mine hit me up last night. He said, why did I bet Cleveland? I've never bet Cleveland. And then after the game, he was like, I'm so glad I bet Cleveland.
Dude, it was 14, we're eating a steak at New York Prime. It's 14-0. I'm like, oh, crud. But anyway, Baker Mayfield, the magic, baby. He got it done. All right, so give me a two college and two pro, Joe.
All right, let's start with the NFL. I'm going to tell you, man, this is a game of unbeatens, right? You're talking Texans, Giants. Texans are a six-point favorite over the Giants at home. Giants, well, their offensive line is terrible. I think they're not going to be able to control that Texans defensive line. I think they get a lot of heat on Eli, which means he makes mistakes. Texans cover Mike six at home against the Giants.
All right, Texas minus six. What else you
give
got?
Me the Patriots over the Lions. I know Matt Patricia is a former assistant with the Patriots. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I saw that. Everybody's saying, is that a sucker bet? No, I mean, why is it complicated? I'm not sure why. I mean, it should be about 10. 10 or 11, but it's at 7.
Yeah, it's 6.5. It's 7. Give me the Patriots to cover that. Lions guys are struggling. Matt Stafford or not, I think they're going to have a lot of problems. And also, remember, the Patriots lost last week to the Jags.
Right.
After a loss like this, I always take the Patriots cover the spread. I think they'll do it again.
All right, man. For the pro game, I'm going to go with the Dolphins minus three. The Dolphins taking on the Raiders. Raiders going cross country. And John Gruden, I tell you what, I could use a pass rush. I tell you what, these pass rush guys don't grow on trees.
Yeah,
Carl.
You had one,
What's
Coach.
That?
You had one.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never met the man. Right, so I got the Fins, baby. It's going to go with the Dolphins minus three. All right, to the college game. Give me two college.
All right, man. I'm going with LSU over La Tech.
Ooh.
Everybody's thinking LSU's not for real. This is another way to prove, coming off of a big win, they beat two top 10 teams. But here's the deal. The spread is 20, Mike. It's still 20.5.
Right.
I still think LSU covers it against Louisiana
All right,
Tech.
LSU minus 20.5. What's your last college game?
And then I'm going to pick Clemson right here in town, on Georgia Tech.
You and me are both on Clemson.
16.5 is the spread. I think they cover that. They beat.
By the way, I just updated in Vegas. It is 15.5.
Well, that's even better.
I've got it on Vegas.
Well, I'll
right
take
now.
It at 15.5.
I love it at 15.5. And buy that half point from your local bookie, sports fans.
So, yeah, that's the game. That's the games that I'm on. Clemson, LSU, college, give me Texans, Patriots, NFL.
All right, man. I've got the Buckeyes, good team, bad team, 37-point favorites against the Green Wave. Tulane coming to the horseshoe.
Yes, but I
come and get you whooping.
But remember now, Urban Meyer's back, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And he does. He wants to remind you what a genius he is.
Of course he does.
They always cover the big number. And then I also with you taking Clemson as the Tigers going to put a beat down on North Avenue. All right, let's get to our game winner, brothers and sisters.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
Give me your stone cold lock of the week, brother. Something which you think is guaranteed to happen. Hey, man, you're on the radio. What you got?
My stone cold lock of the week, A&M doesn't get 35 scored on them in the first quarter.
Wow. Yeah, man, I tell you what, we didn't touch that game.
No.
26.5 point spread to be a four-touchdown dog in your own division in the SEC. Man, you think Jimbo Fisher's got a plan?
Well, I do. I think, you know, that they're going to play better than expected. They're going to lose, but they're going to play better than expected.
He didn't have the horses yet to do his thing.
I don't believe so, Mike.
Hey, man, your stone cold lock of the week, brother, is what?
Hey, man, I'm going to give you my lock and real quick tell you why. I'm going to take the Falcons by 17 because what's going to happen, like, Manning used to go up there, yell, Omaha, Omaha. Matt's going to go up on the fast offense, and he's going to start yelling, Chief, Chief, and it's going to confuse the hell out of everybody.
He always
now,
gets
guys,
it.
If you're new to the show, we have a segment where guys take shots at each other in this segment, and that's one of the guys. All right, he thinks the Falcons can win by 17, and Matt will yell, Chief. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's your stone cold lock of the week?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Bring it. What's going on?
Roll Tide. We're taking Texas A&M through there, and we cover the spread.
Wow. All right, that would be a 28 or more, 26. I think 26 and a half is the number right now.
Listen, the way Alabama's playing right now, and I know dog fans don't want to hear this, I don't know who stops them. I'm going to be honest with you. They're playing great.
Just hope that the young defenders on Georgia will be much better by the time they do tangle.
That's right.
If they are going to tangle in the Mercedes-Benz for the SEC Championship. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's your Stone Cold Lock of the Week?
Hey, man. My Stone Cold Lock of the Week is the Braves are going to clinch this weekend.
Nice. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, they can get it done, baby. And if they do that, then they can rest everybody. That man says the Braves will sweep the Phillies, or take 3 out of 4, and clinch this division. Baby.
I'm with that. Phillies have to win 2 of the next 3, guys, to make it even interesting at the end of this series, or should I say up in Philly next week. I hope we don't have to even talk about that series.
Right. And if you're going to SunTrust, man, again, close out your tab by about 7:25, Carl, so you can make it into the ballpark on time for the first pitch.
I agree.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's your Stone Cold Lock of the Week?
Stone Cold Locks, 2 of them. Tiger Woods finishes the deal. Arkansas loses by 100.
Nice.
They are struggling right
now.
Yeah,
Razorbacks, man.
Chad Morris?
Chuck Norris running that offense,
yeah.
Man. Struggling, Chad Morris. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us?
Minnesota minus 16, Buffalo.
Ooh. Yeah, that Buffalo, that's bad. It's a hot mess. That coach went from the playoffs to getting fired, I bet you, in just 1 year, man. Hey, man, you're on the radio, Cowboy. What do you got for your Stone Cold Lock of the Week?
Yo.
Well, he's driving a car somewhere. We know that. Yes, the window could be down. Sir, what do you got for us?
I love my Bravos, but the only way to get out of the first round is they play Milwaukee.
Wow. All right. He's not feeling the love for the playoffs, man. Hey, man, final call. A little surprise there, my friend. It's Dukes and Bell live here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Final Stone Cold Lock of the Week, baby. What you got?
Hey, man.
I got a
teaser for you. I got Texas A&M plus 32.5 over 54.
Again, guys, if you're not familiar with gambling terms,
he teased it.
You can buy some points. You can move the number. You can parlay it. Good job, man. Hey, appreciate you, Craig. I know it's always tough with the delay when we're on remote. All right, let's wrap things up, baby. Clear out throats.
All right, we'll come back, and we will hand things off also to Mr. Andy Bunker. We'll tell you what's coming up on Monday. It is a busy weekend here in the ATL, guys. We'll tell you all about it and tell you what we're going to be doing on Monday, should I say, with the Falcons as well, as you'll get a chance to hear the coaches show and the players segment coming off of the Saints game here on Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.